Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood, sitting alongside Mary Margaret Collingsworth.
Hello.
John Paul Basham.
Yo.
How much longer till I have to introduce you, not Collingsworth, anymore?
I think by the time that this episode airs, I will not be a Collingsworth anymore.
You'll be a West?
Yes.
You'll be a West.
I'll be a West. I know. Wow. 9 days from today.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So with me today, Mary Margaret West.
That's the first time I've been called that. Like, it'll be official when this happens. So thank you.
Hopefully you don't feel like the thunder of the wedding was just stolen.
Did we, yeah. Did we just take it away?
You did not. I might cry in a minute, but it's okay. It's over.
That podcast stole it.
Why did he do that?
If Jonathan was here, we could just knock out the wedding.
I already have the license. I bet you could sign it.
I could. Okay. We could like.
Just knock it out.
Yeah. Then you wouldn't have to think about it anymore.
There See?
Done.
That makes everything a lot easier.
Yes, it does.
So is the Twitter handle going to change?
I haven't decided yet. I'm 33. Everything is Mary Margaret C.
Right.
And so now I'm like, I'm having like an identity crisis in my life. So I'm not really sure what to do because that's a lot of work to change all that stuff.
Oh, man.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I'm not
sure.
And
you're changing the one that really matters.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So for now, you can still find Mary Margaret at Mary Margaret C on Twitter, at John Paul Basham, and at Ben Trueblood. We would love to hang out via the Twitterverse outside of the podcast. Let us know what you think of the podcast. If you haven't taken the time to go leave a rating and review, it'll take you less than 30 seconds. Head over to iTunes, leave the rating and review. It helps other people find the podcast and the same great student ministry content that you have come to enjoy and love so dearly. So head over there, leave a rating and review. Also, if you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button. It takes even less time than leaving a rating and review. Literally, it's one click.
Hit it.
Hit the subscribe button, and we would love to be in your ears every week. So this week on the podcast, we are going to talk about the Great Commission. The section of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28, that is known as the Great Commission. And we're going to talk through what it looks like, how you can know if your student ministry is a Great Commission student ministry, and some of the things that you can do to get the Great Commission all up in your student ministry if it is not there yet. So this will be a podcast that we hope is an evaluation point for you that you can say, oh, man, like the stuff they talked about, like we're doing that. We're hitting a home run. We're on that track. Hopefully it'll be affirming to many of you. And at the same time, hopefully it'll bring out some challenging areas mm-hmm. that you need to consider as you look at the Great Commission and what we're called to do as believers and how that matches up with how you lead your student ministry. And as a leader, how you live out the Great Commission personally. So I think it's fitting. You probably know this. You've probably memorized this passage, but I'd love to read it. I think it's fitting that we do that since we're going to be talking about it. So Matthew chapter 28.
Can you do it in a British accent?
In verse 18. I can't. Can you?
Well, probably.
Would you like?
But I'll just let you read it in a normal voice.
We're going to have to hang on to. Well, we need to have you do something. So verse 18. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So those are the passages of scriptures that are known as the Great Commission. And I think what's interesting about, and you've probably heard sermon after sermon after sermon on this, and there are commentaries upon commentaries that have broken down this passage and have gone into much more detail than we will in the course of the next 30 minutes or so of the podcast. But we do want to bring some things to your attention in the context of leading a student ministry and what's important here to notice that you make sure, that you need to make sure and have in your ministry, because this is what we're called to do both personally, and I think we can draw a line to as pastors and ministers of the gospel, this is what we're to equip people to do.
Oh, yeah.
So in order to do that ourselves and in order to equip people to do it, then we have to have it as a part of our leadership structure in our ministry. It can't be something that's never talked about. It needs to be embedded through the vision, the mission of the church and the student ministry. And I think what stands out to me most about this passage, and we can kind of dive in to conversation here, is that there are churches who do really well at pieces of this,
mm-hmm.
but there are few that seem to really have all of these functioning all at the same time at a really high level.
Because that takes a tremendous amount of work and intentionality and kind of a commitment to focus on those things.
Yeah.
I think is probably one of the roadblocks to that. I think a lot of our churches get in, kind of fall to this temptation that we need to do so many things. And so we offer so many programs, and often that will get in the way of some of those just key elements of discipleship, that when they're not constantly talked about and constantly, if we're not always encouraging our people in these kind of three or four things that will be those building blocks, those kind of foundational pieces of discipleship, then they get lost.
Yeah. And you see this happen, I think, most often in that separation of evangelism and discipleship, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you have the conversation of, man, we see a ton of people come to know the Lord, a ton of people baptized in our church, but we don't see, and this is the word that's used, we don't see the depth of discipleship in some of those places. And the reverse is also true, that you see the depth of discipleship. And I hesitate to even use the word discipleship there, because as we'll talk about, like, discipleship is doing everything together,
mm-hmm.
but this is the framework that is talked about most often, so I'll stick with that language. Do you see a depth of discipleship, or the learning, or the biblical knowledge piece really growing, but there's not the evangelism, and there's not a seeing of people coming to know the Lord and being baptized in the church? And there seems to be, this has been going on forever, that, like, this isn't a new conversation in church world, but it's also not going away. Like, this continues to still happen where those things are being separated. And the reality is that for a church to really be, or for in the context of this podcast, for it to really be a Great Commission environment, you are seeing people come to know the Lord, those people are being taught, and those people are in turn leading others to the Lord and teaching others.
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole disciple making process. And part of making a disciple is seeing someone come to know the Lord. The act of sharing your faith and leading someone to faith in Jesus, as well as teaching them to go out and do the same thing and live for him all along the way.
Yeah.
And there's a piece of this, too, that I think there is a real paradox in the fact that you have to be really intentional for this to happen, but you also have to have your hands open while you do it and be willing to give back some of the pieces of it that, like, you really want to grip really hard, because you can't be the one that facilitates every bit of this happening. And it needs to be the thing that if you were to leave tomorrow, that would continue to happen after you left.
Yeah,
because if it
good.
That I think is when you really see a whole lot of fruit, a whole lot of depth, is when you're called to leave and that continues to happen, because that has become the culture of the people and the ministry and the church, and it becomes so much of a part of who they are that it continues despite who's leading it, because it's ingrained in their very being.
Yeah, man, that's so good, because that reinforces the idea that, like, hey, as you're not building the ministry on yourself,
yep.
and your gifts and your abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a Great Commission ministry isn't Ben's ministry.
Right.
It is built on that.
Mm-hmm.
And those pieces will be there, like you said, long after you leave.
And for somebody who feels like their gift and their strength is in either, you know, as you kind of framed it up, evangelism or discipleship, they have to be willing to lean into both and not just say, well, this is who I am and this is what I bring to the table, but to say, but the whole picture of fulfilling this is to do both and. Yeah. And so they've got to lean into other people to come alongside and you know, and lean into the idea that both of those things to create this cyclical ministry that happens for it to continue to happen down the road, you have to have both parts and you can't just lean into the part that you're more comfortable with.
Yeah. I like what you said about having your hands open mm-hmm. while you're doing that because, well, you and I were talking today about a Bible study that we're working on. We're just brainstorming. And it's really focused around kind of mentorship, mother-daughter discipleship specifically. Yeah. And one of the things that we talked about earlier today in brainstorming that is that a lot of people don't feel like they can disciple somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's a result of ministry practitioners, ministry leaders taking that mantle of discipleship on themselves mm-hmm. and saying, I'm providing discipleship opportunities for you, the church. All you have to do is show up to these environments that I've programmed for you.
Yeah.
Instead of communicating that, hey, I'm going to teach you and expect you. I'm going to show you how to disciple. And then the expectation is that you go disciple. Like, this is your job. I'm just here to teach you how. I'm still going to provide these environments for you to learn how and for you to grow in the Lord, but the expectation is that you do this.
Yeah.
And so equipping them to do that is a big deal. And constantly saying, this is for you to do. This is for you to do. Yeah. This is your ministry. Like you said, Ben, this is not my ministry. This is your ministry. This is your walk. This Great Commission, this was written to you. When you read it, this is the message to you, not for me to disciple all the people in our hometown. It's for you. It was for these individual men that Jesus was talking to go out and make disciples. And that is filtered down as they've made disciples who have made disciples who have made disciples. Somewhere along the line, it reached you.
Yeah.
And this is now your mantle of responsibility.
And we've turned it into a program. Like, we've made discipleship a function that is a thing that has a set time and place at the church so often, when it's really just as believers should be a part of who we are. And just the thing that is the natural outpouring of our relationship with the Lord and our growth in Him and just where we are, that we are constantly pouring intentionally into other people. But I think we have the incredible opportunity to provide, like you say, training and equipping opportunities to say, hey, you know this stuff better than you think you do. Let me give you some tools, some ideas, but then go do it. Like, go be free to go do the thing that God's called you to do, because as a believer, He's called you to disciple.
I had a conversation just the other day with a couple of guys that I've been walking with, friends, that these are like personal accountability partners, not students. And one of them said, man, I'm just kind of frustrated right now because I don't feel like I'm being discipled. And so my comment to him was, well, maybe you should be the one who's discipling some other people.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we're just waiting on somebody else to disciple us.
Mm-hmm.
When, like you said, I mean, this guy, I'm walking with him in this way, kind of in accountability, because we're running at the same speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I'm across the table saying, man, you know plenty.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be the one making the disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work on encouraging and, you know, uplifting one another around this table. But yes, there's an issue that there's not enough discipleship happening. Let's go make it happen.
Yeah. And I think so many people, whether it's kind of the older or younger person in the discipleship relationship, so often we'll both ask the question, well, should it be me asking the other one or vice versa? And I'm like, to both of you, the answer is yes. Like, the answer is, if the Lord's prompting you, go have a conversation with somebody. Go ask, like, say, would you be willing to meet with me, either for me to disciple you or for you to disciple me, or for us to kind of get together on a regular basis and study the word? And, you know, but I think we come up with all manner of reasons why either we can't do it, we don't know enough, or there's not enough time, or that somebody else wouldn't be interested in doing that with us or for us, or, you know, whatever that is. And so we've got to just kind of set our pride aside, I think, in a lot of ways, and not be afraid to ask if we feel like the Lord's prompting to begin the discipleship process with somebody else.
Yeah.
I think part of that too is just recognizing maybe what discipleship is, because I think many times we picture discipleship in our head as somebody who knows a lot teaching somebody who knows a little,
yeah,
so that they can go and become somebody who knows a lot, who teaches somebody that knows a little. And while that does happen, I think maybe a little more openness to what being involved in discipleship is necessary here, because if you get down to it, like, discipleship is followers of Jesus who come together so that they can grow in their journey with the Lord, who then go and meet with other people and be a part of that with other people. So like I would call what you're doing with this guy, like he is a part of discipleship.
Yeah.
Like, he is in that relationship. And so, you know, Mary Margaret, to your point, the answer is yes for both, because in a discipling relationship, if you're meeting with three or four people, there are going to be points where you're leading the way.
Yeah.
And there are going to be points where someone else fills that teacher, the teach them everything that I've commanded you role.
Yeah.
And that, if you're in a real dynamic discipleship group, I think that teacher role is passed in an unplanned mm-hmm. way all around the circle at different times. And that's what's so beautiful about that discipling relationship, because I will have walked through things that I can be a serve in the teaching role that somebody else wouldn't.
Yeah.
And would help them. And somebody else is going to be able to walk through that in a different way. And so I think that let's open even the definition of what it means to be involved in discipleship. And so as you plan your student ministry, your teenagers can do this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, man, I don't have enough volunteers to staff my Sunday school or small groups and this whole extra thing of discipleship. Well, maybe not, but I bet you have a couple of volunteers that can work to help organize 4, 5, 6, 20 groups of 3 or 4 students each and put something into their hands that they can talk about. And it might be messy at first, but it's better to jump in and do it messily in that than to rob the teenagers of the opportunity to learn what it's like at a young age to be disciplers of each other.
Yeah.
And if they have questions, they can't answer something, then you've made yourself available as a leader, and your kind of coordinator adults have mm-hmm. made themselves available so that they can step in when it's necessary.
And I think for a lot of those adults and volunteers, one of the big hesitations is a lot of them would probably look at you and go, but I've never been discipled, like, or because they've never had a title to a relationship like that. And a lot of them, I think that causes a lot of just this kind of innate fear of going, but I don't know how to do that for somebody else. And you just kind of have to break down what discipleship is and isn't, like you've been saying, Ben. Like, you've got to kind of just bring it back down to the basics and go, if you've grown in Christ, you've been discipled by somebody. And so now how can you do that for somebody else? But a lot of people have this notion that it is, you know, this formal thing, and it can be sometimes,
yes,
but absolutely. I think if you can help break down some of that for your leaders, it will make them much more apt to feel capable and able and willing and ready to lead a group of students.
Yeah. So like, if you're a student ministry leader and you would say, I'm not being discipled right now, or you have a longing in your heart for somebody to come into your life and disciple you, then I think there's a piece of that where, like, you should be praying for God to bring that person in your path,
mm-hmm.
but you should also look around and make sure that God hasn't already done that.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibility is on you
to
go up to somebody that you have a ton of respect for whatever reason, that you know is walking with Jesus, and you just have a ton of respect for this person, to just go up to them and say, hey, can we meet once a week and just talk about life and talk about the Lord, and like put the responsibility on yourself to find that person and just go up to them and ask, can we do this? And then be ready with your questions.
Yeah.
Like, be ready to ask for whatever reason why you, maybe they have raised kids. They're a member of your church and they've just raised kids that are amazing. They've gone through your student ministry and those kids are like following Jesus into college and after that. And that you can, that's somebody that you can look at and say, man, they've run their race well to this point in their life. Then there are questions that you can probably come up with to be ready for that meeting every single week and put yourself in a discipling relationship. And the other person may not even know that's what it is at the mm-hmm. beginning.
So here's a question. We've talked about what discipleship is and kind of defining that. And I think one of the One of the things that I asked student ministry volunteers as a student pastor was to try to spend as much time as possible outside of their small groups with students to build relationships with them, which I would still say is an important thing to do. So you're not just checking off classroom time, right?
Yeah.
As a student ministry volunteer with a full-time job and volunteering in student ministry, I found very quickly when that same expectation was placed on me, it was hard to meet, and I love student ministry.
Yeah.
I wanted to be there. I want to invest in students. And I mean, even right now, I'm talking to our student pastor for some different ways that we can serve and some different discipleship environments. And it is going to take some extra time. But where is the line when we talk about this Great Commission student ministry and we say, okay, we really want discipleship happening. We want our leaders discipling students. We want students discipling students because we can't facilitate, like you said, Mary Margaret, every one of these discipleship environments. Mm-hmm. Where's the line for what we really can ask of our volunteers?
I think that's a great question. I think part of it, just like we have to maybe take a different look at what discipleship is, including the broad scope of what the Great Commission says, I think we also have to look at the programs and the groups that we have and help leaders to understand discipleship can happen in these groups that you have. Because to some extent, it's almost like we're saying, oh, well, this environment, that can't happen, so we need to require all of these extra things on these leaders in order to put them in a place where discipleship can happen. Well, no, that doesn't need to be the case. We need to structure, so like small groups, for instance, you can build your small group structure in such a way that students are equipped to lead people to Jesus and to challenge each other in their faith and grow stronger in their relationship with the Lord. Is that not what discipleship is, right?
Yeah.
It's growing stronger in the Lord and obeying him more and worshiping him more, and growing in the knowledge of who he is, with this at the same time having a mindset of I'm looking for other people to bring into this process of walking with Jesus, both in salvation and then through the life, the rest of life part of that. And I think maybe we look at the small group structures that we currently have and we say that can't happen to the level at which I think it needs to happen. So the result is I need to go start this whole other brand new thing.
Yeah.
When maybe the challenge then is, do I just need to restructure what I have? Do I need to retrain the people that I have to maximize this moment? Do I need to recast vision so that the teenagers see this moment for what it is in the life of their discipleship versus, well, this is not, so we need to keep doing this and I need to go add on these other things to make sure it's happening. So maybe you need to make your group smaller. Maybe you need it. So instead of requiring more of the volunteers you have to serve in another environment, maybe you need to recruit more volunteers and make the group smaller. Maybe you need to adjust what you're using. And I think in the majority of cases, it's casting vision to the leaders and the students to help them understand what that moment is for. And then you can begin to experience what you're looking for in that Sunday school or small group moment, rather than going out and starting all this new stuff.
Here's something that I've thought about in what you would ask. You know, if I was back in the student pastor seat right now, I've found that those individual relationships are a big deal. And often that means that you are meeting outside of that classroom. For me, as a student pastor, that meant that the ones I was discipling the most intentionally, I guess, I definitely met with them outside of church programming. But I think maybe the language could change to, instead of kind of along the lines of what you're talking about, shifting the way you talk about this, changing some of the expectations that you have, changing some of those environments, I think maybe the focus should be in that I don't just want you to show up at soccer games and show up at, you know, debate matches and all that kind of stuff, because really that's just going to something, and it does show support of a student.
Yeah.
But if in those small group environments we're really teaching our leaders to build relationship, some of those extracurricular things are going to grow out of a love between that student and their leader. The relationship that they build in that is going to branch out into a more involved discipleship relationship. I've seen that happen a bunch of times, where you have a leader that really just dives into some kids' lives. And eventually it's like, man, their families are getting together for meals and,
right,
you know. And I think that's what we're trying to get at, is this life that's genuinely being lived together. It's people that it's believers that care for one another enough to invest and spend time in one another, which isn't going to happen sitting in the stands at the football game.
Yeah. Right. And it's going to happen on Sunday morning when you remember the prayer request that they shared the week before, you know, and you don't act surprised by the things that they mentioned because you're paying attention and you truly are praying for those things in between, and you're checking in and you're touching base, and you're keeping tabs in a good way of just saying, hey, I want to know what's going on with you, and I really do care. And, you know, it's more than just, I think it's exactly what you're saying. It's way more than just showing up, but it is being present, and it's being, you know, being aware of what's going on and getting to know their parents, and of just, you know, I think doing what the end of this passage talks about when it says teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, you know, just say use those as teaching moments, use those as teaching opportunities to, you know, to show who Jesus is, to show how he cared for people and how he listened to people and he asked questions of people. But that we are modeling what we're doing in the relationships that we have after the way that Jesus did those things.
Yeah. I think to have a great commission student ministry, it's realizing that it's, you guys mentioned it earlier, that this was a command given to people, right? It wasn't a command given to an organization.
Yeah.
So Lifeway doesn't make disciples. Like, what we do and the curriculum that we produce, like, none of those things make disciples. People make disciples. So we would see our role here at Lifeway as tools to help you make disciples, because you are a person. And I would say the same thing for the church, the building and the organization of the church. Discipleship happens with the people who are part of the church. And far too often, I think we set it up for the people of the church to believe that the church is responsible for doing the discipleship. Like, if I bring my friends, you're going to have this organization that puts them on the conveyor belt and they go through. Or a parent might think, if I bring my kids to this church, then from preschool until they leave the nest, they are going to be turned into disciples by what happens at the church. And I think in reality, you having a great commission ministry does involve programs. It does involve organizing. It involves some organization on your part and building systems, but it's doing all those things in order to put people into the places where they can live life together, study God's word together, challenge each other to follow him more faithfully, and be continually looking to bring new people into that process. It's using the organization in order to put people together to make this happen. And I think we miss that. And I think we miss one of the things that your church more than likely can provide to you in this conversation is multi-generational discipleship, is providing way. Again, you don't have to call it discipleship. It doesn't have to have a name or a tag on it, but utilizing the organization of the church to put people together. So, like, when was the last time you organized a moment where older people in your church could speak into the lives and speak on a certain topic or speak wisdom into the lives of the people in your student ministry? Probably not very recently.
Yeah.
But we see a principle in Scripture of older people pouring into and teaching the young. And I think that's an element of this that we're missing, of the people part of this.
Yeah.
Of organizing a ministry that puts people in multiple opportunities to do life together and grow together and bring new people in. It's about people to people. And we get to be a part of the organization of the church that God put in place for us as a to use as a vehicle to accomplish this.
Yeah.
But the people are still the ones who take action on this.
Man, that's so good. And as you were talking about that, I kind of have this overriding thought, is that what we need to do is teach people how to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we program discipleship, we have a bunch of people just doing student ministry.
Yeah.
Attending events, like you said, showing up and not necessarily being present. Being present and actually remembering a prayer request because you've prayed for it every day since they offered it, is loving that person enough to prioritize them and to pour into them and to think about them, to care for them genuinely. And I think that love for one another is one of the primary vehicles for discipleship. That's where that happens.
And that's where I think with casting vision and educating people on what this is for, like what this event is for and what this program is for, then I think you begin to get at the discipling in a much more organic kind of way than just, hey, come to these discipleship groups. But when they begin to understand what it's for and what you're trying to accomplish, then that opens up really any environment to begin to be that. At the same time, I would say, though, that a group of people spending time together for an extended period of time is an essential piece of this process because of the relationship, because of the love for each other that you develop, because of the openness to be accountable and the openness to say, I'm struggling with this and I just need y'all's help. I need your prayer. I need, you know, that doesn't happen if people are constantly changing around.
Yeah.
So you have to, when you think about this, you have to provide an environment where there's a group of people who are together for an extended period of time, comma, but it can't be so closed that their eyes are only on the people in the group.
Yeah.
And I think the part, Mary Margaret, you may have mentioned this a little bit ago in the podcast, but we naturally drift towards what we're good at and what our talents are. And I think the same thing, we naturally drift towards what's working.
Yeah.
So if you're in a season in your church where you're seeing a lot of people come to know the Lord and it's like this harvest season, then the tendency is for us as church leaders to pour more gas on that fire, so to speak, and to, man, we're seeing a harvest right now, so let's do more and more and more and more and more evangelism, 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 evangelism. And if we're not careful, then we'll neglect the teaching part and the discipling part and bringing those new converts or those new followers of Jesus into what it means to have a relationship with the Lord. And the same thing can be like, if there's a lot of people fired up for, again, the splitting up, which you cannot do, like that's the whole point of this. You can't split them apart. But for people who are seeing, man, there's a ton of fire and excitement right now for the learning piece of this and the depth piece of this. Well, we're just going to pour more into that. You can neglect the other side and not see new people coming into relationship with the Lord. And so it's a real test of, I think, church leadership discipline to not focus on what's working so much that you neglect everything else.
Yeah.
It has to be two gears that work together at the same time every time.
And it, I think, too, one piece that we've got to keep in mind, you know, if you're a student pastor, is to invest in parents so that they'll invest in their own kids.
That's right.
They'll invest in students, and that hopefully in a lot of cases can be the first line of defense when it comes to discipleship, and that it's happening in the home, and that, you know, moms and dads are the the initial disciples of their kids, you know, but then you're going to have students who come from, you know, from families who don't know the Lord, who are not walking with him. And so, you know, that right there is not an option for them. But at the same time, you know, how can you equip the parents that are coming, are showing up, that want to invest in their own kids and make a difference at home during the week and all that kind of stuff, you know, so that it's happening there too. And those kids aren't just coming to get it from somebody else. And I think I'm so grateful when I look back on the women who, when I was in middle school and high school, invested in me, you know, that were my small group leaders, that, you know, that I did discipleship with, because I know them by name. I remember the things that they did, and they were saying the same kind of things that my parents were saying to me at home. Yeah. I mean, it reinforced everything my parents were doing at home. And so I think if we can help that, you know, also create that both and there of it's happening in the home, and we're helping to do whatever we can to give parents good material, good tools or whatever, that same kind of training for them. But we're also training up other leaders who will invest in students who feel called to do that and can reinforce the same kind of things. That's a win for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So the essence of the Great Commission student ministry is one that doesn't parse out the moments of this passage and focus on one over the other. It's one where all of the Great Commission passage permeates all aspects of the ministry, and realizing that in order to be a Great Commission ministry, there have to be people who come to know the Lord as a part of your ministry, where the gospel is faithfully preached and people are given an opportunity to respond. And at the same time, those people who respond and the people who have already responded at years past in their life are able to sit with other believers around the Word of God and grow in their faith. And at the same time, see people who are not followers of Jesus and reach out and join others and bring others along. It's the disciple making of disciple makers is what the Great Commission is all about. All done under the authority of Jesus, all done under his command and his strength and his power. And the greatest thing about this whole passage is that he is going to be with you as you lead and as you labor in this effort to make disciples of the next generation. Jesus is with you, and it's in his strength that you work. This has been another Lifeway Student Ministry podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, leave that rating and review, and we will see you next time.